Evil Squared Comics Podcast, Season 6, Episode 8.
6-8.
Yep, I'm Drew.
I'm Don.
I'm Scott.
There we go. And we get together every couple weeks and we talk about comic books, movies, and TV shows.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's
what we do. What you guys got?
Wow. That is some interesting dragon's milk.
Scott is drinking dragon's milk. Don and I are both drinking 8-bit pale ale. It's got a little Pac-Man on it. I'm surprised they're not sued for copyright infringement.
New Holland Brewing Company.
Is it strong? Does it have whiskey in it? Or is it just dragon's milk?
I'm loving this pale ale.
Actual dragon's milk?
It has actual dragon's milk in it,
That's pretty cool.
A treasure trove, the adventurous spirit.
Huh.
Crafted to push the boundaries of our signature stout.
Wow.
Oh, yep, here you go. Slumber in select bourbon barrels, impacting notes of vanilla and oak to the brew.
Wow. Okay.
Is it kind of like that other bourbon barrel beer that I had?
A little bit. Cocoa and freshly ground coffee are added.
Oh, see?
See?
I want the coffee.
Yeah.
There you go. So, wow.
All right, who watched Ricky Stenicki?
I kind of avoided that one.
Watch Ricky Stenicki?
I've seen it there on Amazon, but
it's pretty good. It
doesn't quite look like my kind of movie.
It's one of the Farrelly brothers.
Oh, is it?
And it's got John Cena, who's doing comedy, which he's actually good at comedy.
He is, and Zac Efron.
Yeah, that's not much of a selling point.
Yeah, but think of Neighbors and whatnot. I mean, he's got some comedy.
He's okay as a straight guy.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's fun. But yeah, it's pretty good. Do you guys know the concept?
Nope.
They have a make-believe friend. This group of people had, or these couple guys had a make-believe friend that they would use in order to
get away
to basically have a guy's weekend or a guy night, you know, type things. They would always say, "Oh, I gotta go because
Ricky Snicky's got cancer. He's right, in the hospital. I gotta go see him." You know, but they've been using him since they were like kids for like all sorts, like anything. Anybody, they would blame everything on Ricky Stenicki or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know. So,
but finally, they need to actually have a real Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah, so they get John Cena to be the stand-in as their Ricky Stenicki.
Gotcha.
And shenanigans ensue. Don,
was it fun? Some really funny parts.
You laugh out funny. Loud. It was funny. I mean, it was amusing. I don't know.
Or did you just snicker? Out loud.
Mostly snickered.
Okay.
But I don't really laugh out loud at anything.
So, really?
Yeah. I'm not a really jolly person.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes a lot. So
it takes a lot to get you to really break that.
Yeah, exactly.
That barrier, huh?
So yeah, but no, it's pretty decent. I'd watch it. It's Farrelly Brothers, so it's got some of that crude humor too that Scott likes.
I believe that.
So yeah, it's all good. The Farrelly Brothers, well, I think it's only one of them, but they've pretty much been making the same movie for like 30 years at this point, I think.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's about right. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they break out a little bit, do something different, but for the most part, it's the same shtick. All right, what did you guys watch then?
Well, you talked me into watching Fighting With My Family, because Florence Pugh, of course.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good, right?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
That's based on a true story, right?
It is. Yeah, and they even have that at the end in the credits, you know, showing the real people and stuff. I mean, golly, they almost nail the family in a lot of ways, types of things. How they acted and things, and how their freaking living room looked and everything looks pretty spot on
pretty
that they
spot
did.
On, yeah.
It felt like a Disney sports film, you know, in some ways, you know, that kind of feel good type of thing. You know, somebody, you know, down and out, trying to make their way up, you know, has that stumble, you know, type things, you know, and then has to come back, you know, one way or another. So,
I can see that.
So yeah, it felt like that to me. But I mean, it's an enjoyable film, you know, type things for a feel good type of thing. Yeah.
It's been many years since I saw it, and I do remember just kind of exactly what you said. It was just kind of a feel good fun, nothing great, didn't like
That's
blow
right.
you away, but it was fairly entertaining.
Absolutely, I would definitely say it was nothing great.
What'd you watch, Sean?
I don't think I watched really anything.
What have you been doing with your time other than fixing toilets?
Fighting with toilets.
Fighting with your family.
We haven't watched like any movies or TV shows or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like stuff like, Survivor. And
Just stuff to catch up on.
We haven't really watched
anything. I did watch a horrible movie. The Irish Wish with the chick from Mean Girls.
Lindsay Lohan,
yeah.
Hmm. I think I do remember
it was a
that.
Netflix like yeah. rom-com. Ugh. But they've almost hit that Hallmark movie type thing. That's how bad it was. It was like kind of like a Hallmark movie.
I can believe that.
And it had really bad writing, really bad acting, really bad everything. But
I can believe that.
But if you need a Lindsay Lohan rom-com fix, this is your jam.
Okay.
But I'm guessing you guys don't need that.
Not really.
No. Huh.
Not particularly.
I did start watching Primal. Have you, either of you guys watched that on...
That's on Netflix Max? As well.
What is this? Oh, Max. Primal. Okay. It's a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. It's the Samurai Jack guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched, like, a few of them, but I have not watched all of it.
It's okay. But there's, like, no dialogue.
Right.
It's almost like I don't have the attention span for it almost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the animation's cool and it's cool action, but it's just that. And it's like, I'll like be on my iPad at the same time and I'll like barely, you know what I mean? It doesn't pull you in enough.
Maybe
be more focused or something. I don't know. It's bad.
Watch it in the original language. Who knows? I don't know.
But there is no language.
There's no words.
Yeah.
That means you have to watch it all. It means you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you're like, look, your iPad trying to watch it, there's nothing to. Like, sometimes you can kind of like hear the dialogue and glance up as you're watching. And you kind of get some.
The gist,
But this one, you have to be.
You have to be focused.
Yeah. See, I haven't been able to do that.
I've been watching a lot of anime with my son, and he likes to watch it in the Japanese.
Oh, the Japanese. So you have to read.
So it means then that I have to pretty much focus. On most of them, you know,
and that's almost better because at least you're reading, and so you have to, you know what I mean? Like, you have to read.
But I feel like I miss on some of the actual gorgeous animation, though, sometimes.
That's true, too.
Trying to read so fast, you know, especially how fast they could move things. Now, anime in general likes to try to do the little, you know, tricks that they can where it's like a still picture that they just kind of slowly move to make it seem like
a lot of shortcuts.
You know, some of those little shortcuts, but. You don't watch Invincible. Invincible is pretty funny because there's a part. Do you watch Invincible?
I watched the first season. I watched one episode.
In one of the episodes in which Mark Grayson meets the creator of freaking Magic Dog or whatever the fuck that thing is that they're reading.
Space Dog,
I think. I don't know. It should be Robert Kirkman, but they never like show his voice or face, you know. And Kirkman's like, oh yeah, they're making an animated special of you know, Space Dog, but they're trying to keep it cheap by, you know, only focusing on the back of somebody's head so you don't have to see the lips moving. And of course, while they're doing this, they're showing the back of his head, you know, and doing a pan siege, you know, where it's just one still picture. And of course, they're showing the Comic-Con that they're at where it's just all one still picture, you know, things. So it's pretty funny as he's talking about this, you know, and how ways to save money for the animated show.
Some shortcuts.
The shortcuts.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's finished off, by the way, too. Season 2 is all done now. Okay.
So you can watch it.
Came out last Friday or Thursday or something.
I've
watched them all.
I haven't even watched
it. It may be the best animated series out there.
Gotcha. I did watch, the first 3 episodes of Tick, the cartoon.
Oh, yeah?
I went back and watched those.
How's that? Speed of Lint?
It's fine. I like it, but it's... You have to enjoy the Tick in general, like the humor. I mean, it's fine if you're into the Tick. You know what I mean? Like it translates very well. But now I was like, I have that video game console thing with all the games on it.
Yes.
And so I was going through stuff like last week, and I came across the Tick, and so I started playing it. The video game?
Yeah.
That game is not great.
Is it an arcade or was it a Nintendo game?
It was a Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
But it's for the original Nintendo? I think it might have been Super. I know it's not original.
Oh, okay.
It's a side-scroller and you just punch people.
Yeah. That's what video games were.
Right. That's all it is. And I'm just like, I got through like one level and I'm like, and I'm bored. I'm like, why don't I go watch the cartoon? I had much more fun watching the cartoon than playing the game. So,
cool.
I watched a couple episodes of The Tick.
Cool.
Nice. I don't know if it changes like in later seasons, but the first season, like the same song, there's no words. It's just da da da. Like they're singing. It's like da 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 da. And I don't know if it was like to save money. So, they didn't
so
have
next
to, like...
week, watch the live action Tink.
Yeah. There were two, weren't there?
Two live action ones.
I think
one was
the first one was with Patrick Warburton, and then, or was he the second one?
I think he was the first one. I thought
the second one was Putty from.
Oh, was the second one Putty?
I don't know.
Is that Patrick?
Oh, is that Patrick? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
So I think
I didn't know that was same guy.
I think it's the second one because they did a live one like for Fox, and then they rebrought it back. They brought it back again, but with like Amazon Prime or something, right?
Yeah.
Like a couple years
ago. Gotcha.
Yeah, and so that's why I thought that
Patrick Warburton was the original.
The first one,
and there's somebody else.
I can't remember which one is which, but.
I think Scott's right. I don't know anything. I just forgot that Patrick Warburton was the guy who was Putty from Seinfeld.
Honestly, I didn't know.
So I made it. So I knew he was in one of them.
Once he said the name, I was like,
so when you said Patrick Warburton, I didn't think that was him. So I said, oh, then the Putty must have been the second one.
Right.
I was just extrapolating my little bit of knowledge. And
I think that's his name.
Yeah, I think it
probably is. I think you're right. Yes.
Okay.
You're all good. You know more than us. You're pop.
You're smart.
That's not...
It's so good.
I wanted to watch the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I haven't been able to because Christy's been out of town and it came out Sunday night.
The final
episode.
I finished off Gentleman, you know, on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I started on One Piece.
The live action.
Yeah, yeah.
I read the first manga of that.
There's 1,100 episodes of the anime.
You know how many volumes of the manga there?
Yeah, there's like over 100.
Well, yeah, but the funny thing is that,
and those are the 200 pages.
The manga only came out 2 years before the anime.
Yeah, so I mean they're pretty much neck and neck.
Yeah, they're pretty exactly. That's where I was going. So 1,100 freaking episodes is just insane, and now there's like 8 episodes of the live action. But I'm actually 3/4 of the way through. I got 6 out of 8, so I only got 2 more episodes to go of the live action. I think it's really pretty good for capturing the spirit of the anime and stuff, but I don't know. A lot of people may just think, if it's going to do that, why don't you just watch the anime? But
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think it's...
Sometimes it's fun. Like, it's fun to see an anime than as a live action.
I think
like, I thought it was fun to see Ghost in the Shell, even though it wasn't good. It was fun to see a cartoon.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like they're capturing some of the... filling out the characters a bit more in some ways.
Appealing though? Like, I think an Akira live action would be cool, but I've seen the cartoon, I've read the manga. Why is a live action interesting at all?
You know, I wasn't real sure.
Like, what's appealing about it?
But
it does. Like, there's a visceral thing. Like, oh, that'd be cool to see it.
Yeah, kind of see some of this type of stuff
but
in there.
Why is it cool? Because it's not like it's... Well, it's funny you say like live action, but it's still probably heavy CGI, right?
Heavy CGI. You know, I don't know how much it's really though from a CGI aspect.
But there's probably some, right?
I think that there's got to be some, but I almost feel like that they're so doing a lot more wire work and other type of things
that could be.
than the just traditional. I'm going to throw in a CGI type thing. It feels like it's a lot more makeup, wire work, traditional you know effects that they're using with it.
It's my whole argument with that whole Lion King. Like, they had the Lion King animated film,
and
they made a Lion King
live
action. Live
action,
but it was pretty much
all
digital animation. I'm like, so it's really just two animated films, two different animation styles in a way.
Yeah, exactly right. And did you really need that? You know, in the case of Lion King, probably.
They made like $1 billion, so apparently somebody enjoyed it.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah,
but. I mean, it's different.
What I find
is... It's kind of like just a remake, but
it really
a different aesthetic,
right? It's a different aesthetic, maybe trying to get different people in. It's hard for me to say because I haven't actually watched the anime of One Piece, but what I kind of feel like is that they're getting into 8 episodes what was probably twice as many in the anime. So they're paring it down, but in other areas trying to, you know, be a little bit more expressive, you know, maybe in some of the character development, like I say, and not, you know... One Piece is like pure shonen, you know, it's like Dragon Ball and those type of things.
Yeah.
Oh, they're meeting somebody and they're gonna fight, and you know, you meet them, then you start your fight, you have an entire episode of the fight continuing, then the fight finally finishes in maybe the 3rd episode, you know, type things, and then they make up and they're like best friends or something like this, and the next thing goes on, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's that type of thing, and so doing that in the live action is actually kind of interesting because they do the setup to you know, where it's probably a different way, where it's like, oh, you're going to go an episode or two, you know, before you actually had that fight where it goes down, and then it's pretty cool. But I mean, it's somewhat mixing, you know, even some of that martial arts aspect that I like, but yeah, you're getting it now in a live action, whereas in animation, sometimes that fighting martial arts doesn't always translate, I guess, quite as well. They can try to do what they can, sure, but I find in the live action, the actual, you know, choreographed fights, I think, pull off a little bit better.
That's fair. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So, cool. Like I said, it's not bad. It's, I don't know anything, though, enough about the story of One Piece either to say, you know, if it's, you know, being true to the source material or not. I know it's being good to the main characters, so to speak, and gotcha, some traits, but how much it, other things it's following, I couldn't tell you either.
Interesting. Cool.
Worth a shot, though, anyway.
Yeah. Man, does it sound especially like you watched
for, much? Especially for you, if you, like, since you don't watch animation, you know, type things, based off of written type things, so. Don't watch Invincible. That's right. You don't watch Invincible.
I said I didn't want to watch Invincible because I like the comic book. See? I would muddy it. But so, I haven't.
If you read the manga, you probably don't want to watch the anime.
I read, like, the first volume of One Piece.
I bet but you, if you would have read, if you would have read Akira first, would you have watched this movie, the anime?
I think probably, because it's like a classic. It is fairly new too. What, like, it wasn't a problem when I was
thing for him.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a problem when I was younger. So, as I've gotten older, I've realized this.
That you don't have as much time, huh?
Well, no, I don't have the brain power to separate them as well.
Oh, okay.
Like, it gets mixed up. Like, I really do get confused between Walking Dead the show and Walking Dead the comic.
Really?
I do too.
Because it's like, oh, well, who died who? Wow. You know, who went with who? And you know, it's like they were, because the storylines are different. And then when I read the comic, I picture Andrew Lincoln. You know what I mean? It's just, it's weird.
Okay, okay.
So it's more like as my brain ages.
That happened to me like when they were doing the Spider-Man?
Far From Home?
No. Homecoming? In the comic books where they rebooted it, Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, they started to get mixed up too, right?
When they started to do Ultimate Spider-Man, I was buying that, then I was buying Ultimate X-Men, I was buying, X-Men and Spider-Man mostly, but not Fantastic Four. But I would read that stuff, and it was like, it was just rehashing the old stuff, but like with a twist, and I'm just like,
it muddies what your memory of the old stuff. It muddies
my memory of the old stuff.
You messed up the origin story.
Well, no, it just makes it to where I don't, I'm doing what he's saying, but 20 years ago, I was doing that to me. So
it feels like for me now at this point in my life, if I like something, I want to keep it pure and just that version of it, and not muddy it with other versions.
Okay, but, well, you're missing out on Invincible.
But it's I'm not against it like he is.
I'm not against it. I'm just explaining why I don't.
No,
want
no,
to watch
I understand.
It.
What I'm trying to say is, like, with Invincible, it's not that same way with me.
Correct. But I love Invincible a lot. So it's one of my favorite comics.
I understand what you're saying.
I hate to muddy it.
The same thing.
Is that your favorite comic?
No.
You got our info. We didn't get to see your
info. Cerebus the Aardvark is my favorite comic.
Okay.
My favorite film is Pulp Fiction. And my favorite book is The Forever War.
The what?
The Forever War.
Forever War.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what I went with.
I take it that Forever War is not by Stephen King.
It is not. I broke the mold and did not have a Stephen King. So, yeah. I almost said The Stand, because I do like The Stand a lot.
I was trying to think of a book that I...
What you said, The Stand.
Would reread, yes, and that was The Stand.
I really like The Stand. Longest time, that was kind of my favorite book.
Out of all the books that I've had and things of that nature, it is one of the few books that I have probably reread, you know, probably 3-4 times.
I almost said Dune, because I did reread Dune like a couple years ago before the movie came out, you know?
Yeah.
And I really like that book. But whatever. It's hard to pick a favorite book.
That I believe. Honestly, though, that one was easier for me than movie. Favorite movie for me is really, really tough.
I just go with Pulp Fiction, because that's like, it blew me away so much at the time, and nothing's ever quite blown me away the way that movie did. Like, I've seen movies since then that may even be better films and maybe be better and had an impact, but that movie just was like, whoa, at the time.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Because I even debated that one, actually, because I was like, wow, that's one of the few films that I probably see multiple times in the theater, you know, even, which is not something I would do very often.
Not normally.
I was trying to think, too, because, like, immediately I go to, like, okay, which Star Wars movie is my favorite movie? And then I'm like, And then the way I thought about it, because those are all good, too. Like, I'm surprised I didn't pick Pulp Fiction. But to me, it was like, what's a movie that I've seen probably 50 times?
Sure.
That you can just watch anytime.
That I will watch again.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. And I will still laugh at every moment.
If you turn it on the TV and it happens to be in the middle of it, you'll probably end up sitting there watching the rest of it. You know,
it's not like, I don't know. It's one of my favorite movies. I can't say that it's like my favorite movie, but same thing with Pulp Fiction. Like I would pop in Pulp Fiction, but I don't know.
What I like about Pulp Fiction is when I watch it, I feel like I'm really zoned in because there's so much intricacy to the way he made the scenes and the dialogue. It all just works so well, and I feel like it just
I'm with you. I would catch something new every time.
Yeah, and that's what I like
about it. I watched it really stoned one time, and I really got some good stuff out of it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So movies hard. All those are hard, favorite of anything, but.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to, the reason I asked is because I was writing like a bio for our podcast page that doing, and he wanted like a bio of everyone. I was like, well, that'd be a fun way without, you know,
just getting too deep. Yeah.
It's getting too deep. So I did a few little sentences about each of us.
It's all good. It's all
and
good.
And then
it made me think, you know.
Yeah. So it's all good.
I thought for about a second, and then I was just like, because I knew it would take me forever to think. So I just kind of rattled stuff off.
Yeah. Just go with your first instinct, right?
I just went boom.
Yeah. But, absolutely.
So, you know, if it's real, it's real.
It's right.
Oh, well. Anything else we watch?
No, I haven't watched a whole lot.
I did.
Well, it's only been a week.
You guys won't care, probably, but I'm really into, like, documentaries and different things. But it was on HBO or Max, whatever you want to call it now. But it was The Truth versus Alex Jones. Do you guys know who Alex Jones is?
He's the asshole about freaking
Sandy Hook. Who was complaining? Sandy Hook. Who was
right? So it's I've listened to podcasts about.
I'm like rocking it today. I happen to know who these assholes are.
And I've listened to I actually listened to like a podcast where they played like the depositions of like Alex Jones and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this was on, so I was mildly interested in it, and so I watched that last night. God damn, that guy's an asshole. That guy really is an asshole. It's like, I just, because this was so basically, like, you know, all the stuff that he did with like Sandy Hook, and then one of the families, I think, sued him for like defamation and like pain and like different things, like in Texas.
Right.
And so they went through a whole trial.
Right.
And then another group of several families were like suing him also, but like up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So he had like two trials going on. He lost both of them.
Yeah.
And he lost both of them basically by, they call it default, because he didn't comply with the court as far as like providing them with what he was supposed to provide them with.
Right.
So the court basically, the judge or whatever, basically just got fed up with him and said, okay, you've had your chance, so we're going to find you guilty by default. Like, there was no trial, there was nothing. It was just, so then they had to go in for, like, the penalty phase or whatever. And, I mean, the first case, they awarded the family, like, $50 million.
Right.
And then the second case, it was a bunch of people. So it was like almost $900 million. Right.
It was a ton of money.
And then at the very end of the show, because at the second one, like, he is such an, like, he's just such an asshole.
Well, the thing
and
that
he was on, like, in the courtroom, and he was on the stand, and they're like asking him questions like, well, it doesn't really matter if you guys find me because I don't have any money anyway. So this is all moot. But then, like, at the end of it, the thing, it says, like, this just happened recently, I think.
Right,
yeah,
it was within
a
year. Yeah.
And they're like, to this date, Alex Jones has paid no money that he's been, and he's still on the air running InfoWars.
But the thing
is, how can, if he doesn't have money to pay them, then how is he still broadcasting on InfoWars? Like, he shouldn't be able to be out there and have a business if he hasn't paid his money.
That's how he's got to be. But, you know, sooner or later, they're going to have to figure out a way to garnish whatever.
Right. I don't mean to keep...
But here's the problem, though, with him that I have with the whole thing in general is that this is a guy that obviously has a huge amount of charisma or whatever else, you know, can speak well, communicate well, can convince a whole section of people, you know, that... things are conspiracies or fake or whatever else, and he's using it for this, you know, type things.
Right.
There are so many things a guy with that type of skill could do that could help improve, you know, our world for the better, and chooses to go dive into this trailer crap, trash type of thing, where he can, you know, just because he feels he can make the most money this way.
Yeah.
And it just, that's what burns me most of all, is that a person that's figured out their talent is using it practically, in my opinion, for almost evil purposes in a way.
Right.
You know, instead of trying to do something to make things better.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I understand that. It's just, I don't know.
Oh, well, yep.
But anyway, I did watch that. That's about it.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I can't think of anything else I watched.
Bad Batch. There's only 4 episodes left, I think.
Right,
well, maybe 3 after today.
Right now.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think it's supposed to finish off by like May 4th or whatever. And and then you got the new, like, what is it, Tales of the Empire or something that's supposed to come out, little shorts.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. I think they're all...
Dude, let it live for a few months before Acolyte.
Well, they had to put something out for May the 4th.
They didn't have to.
Things. Yeah, yes, you do. It's May the 4th.
They
come
on. Have to.
It's practically a holiday anymore. So, pretty soon, I'm going to try to see if I can make that a state holiday.
Someone was like, they were watching that Echo. Did you watch Echo?
I did watch Echo, yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm totally checked out of these Marvel TV series. Though.
Oh, when it came out, it happened to be that I don't know that I was real interested in it, but I ended up having some time one day. And it's Echo's a strange series. It's only 5 episodes, and the first one is like... the long one, it's like an hour, and then each one that keeps going on is like then 45 minutes, then 40, then like 35, then 30. It kept getting shorter as you kept going along. So
imagine that.
It's like, okay. But overall, I mean, because of that, it was pretty quick, you know. It was one of those things I could watch, I think, when I was on the treadmill or something, and it really wasn't a bad series. It was pretty bloody, pretty good fight scenes, you know. So it was an enjoyable one as some of Marvel stuff goes.
Well, there you go.
Maybe I will watch it. Probably not.
Probably not.
Need to watch Hawkeye if you haven't watched that one.
Hawkeye's the new one?
Really good. It came out like a couple of years ago.
I've watched that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's
probably one of the
it.
Best of the Marvel series, anyway.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
Cool.
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 All right, let's do some comic books. I read so much. No, I didn't read that much. I read a couple things, though.
I feel like I read a hell of a lot, considering it was only a week.
Jeez. I read barely anything.
I blame Drew.
Ooh, Gotcha Man, ongoing.
I ordered that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I probably will.
Zach said he wanted to read it now that he went to that panel. It sold him.
Nice. Who's the artist on that?
Chris Batista.
Okay.
Chris Batista. The author is Colin Bunn.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Do you like Gotcha Man?
No.
Okay.
But I can't say I remember it all that well either.
Well, since you read the most, Scott, you should go first. I did not get all the Deadly Class reading done. I'm sorry.
What?
I got
you didn't make it as far
no,
as you
I
needed
didn't.
To?
I got
you probably got
none of the Deadly Class reading done.
My wife is out of town, so I'm like being like full-time parent. It's
what?
Really,
you know what?
It's really annoying.
Sucks, man.
Did you guys carry on with the Goon or not? Or
yeah.
We finished it.
I got it over here.
Finished the Goon.
So you guys finished it. You know what the ironic thing is?
What's that?
I got my comic book order.
Yeah.
There's a new Goon number one in it.
Yeah. He just restarted. I'm not ordering those, though.
Nice. You know, overall, it doesn't look like I read all that much. Well, wait. There's
you have
something
the
else down in here.
Void Rivals.
Yeah, I guess there's that, too. Okay. Anyway, I read Last Man.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what Scott
book one.
Thought about this. Now that he's all in the manga.
I know. Anime. Now that I'm, like, getting back to my manga roots. No, I'm kidding. It was all right.
Oh, just all right. You love it?
I don't know that I loved it, but it may be because you built it up a little bit too.
Darn
type
it.
Things.
You built it up.
I don't
too
know.
Much.
it's enjoyable. It's got that isekai kind of feel going on, you know. Some dude from, looks like he's from our world, is now in this like magical realm or this realm where they're fighting magic, you know, type thing.
Sure.
He's a big strong guy who just keeps beating people out, but getting pissed off because they keep using like little magic things.
Magic, yeah, that like kung fu.
Yeah. So that's kind of neat. I have to say I'm enjoying the overall story, I think, with what it's going with, you know, type.
So you want to read the second one?
I would keep reading it. I would definitely keep reading this one. It's not that bad. I don't know that I dig the art maybe as much as you do.
It might grow in
you. You know, type things. It might. It gets the things across, but I feel like it's a bit simple in some respects.
Yeah, it's a very, like, smooth line. Like
I would definitely say that. It's you know, type things. I will give it credit because, I mean, it definitely... The artist is very good about characterization in general. Yeah. You know each character pretty quickly, easily, as it goes. So they're drawing a character, they can keep doing that and make the characters all different enough that you're not getting confused there. So I would definitely give it their type things.
In the next volumes, he's better at like setting like a big scene, like at the big like splash page, big moment. You know, he does staging those. He gets pretty good at that.
Yeah, but overall, this almost feels like some little Dungeons and Dragons weird thing is going on or something, you know, in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, aspect of things. Sure. I liked how it kind of, this one wrapped up, you know.
I can't remember where it ended.
This one ends where basically the mom of our little, you know, tyke or whatever you want to call him, goes down to the basement and then unveils that she's got a motorcycle.
Things,
and they're gonna go
chase him down,
chase down the big guy who came and kind of went won the tournament, you know, type things. So so it was like, wow,
it was one of those books where I feel like there's like enough big twists and moments that you're like, didn't see that coming, type of stuff.
Oh, okay,
so
I can see that.
Hopefully that will be the case for you too.
I'm just kind of going with the flow. So.
All right, cool. I'll give you a second one.
It's pretty. But it's definitely interesting enough. It's got that good, quick read.
It's definitely reads fast.
So, yeah, I felt like it read
like most fast. Manga. It
that's right. That's where I was going to go with that. It felt like it kind of, it had that manga esque, quick read.
Correct. You know? So,
good mix of shonen with isekai.
I don't know what these. Do you know what these words issues are? Shonen and isekai.
See,
he's like our new manga expert.
That's right. Well, I thank my kids for this.
It's a little, probably too soon and maybe off color. He's turning into our
Eddie P.
He's turning into our Eddie P.
Oh no, that's not good.
No. With all your manga knowledge, because he was really into that, like really into it.
Well,
and
I think
he used all the words and everything. It's a compliment.
The funny thing is that I would, if I was a bit smarter and a bit more motivated, you know, type things. Other languages are something that really interests me in general, you know, type thing. So
they got this thing called Babbel.
I know, and I really should do that, you know, type things. But yeah. So when my son actually teaches me new words that stick, you know, I think it's like great. Yeah. So
yes, that is cool.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I talked about one.
All right. I read this will be real fast. I read The Stone King by Kelly MacDonald. Or is it McDonald?
Is this new?
Oh, Kel MacDonald and Tyler Crook. I picked this up at Planet. I was like, they're cheap. Cheap trades.
Booth. Oh, yeah?
Five for 20 or whatever.
Okay. So it's not something that came out recently.
I don't think so. It was a Comixology original. So it was like an original, and then they put it in a trade.
So it came out like 2 years ago.
At least. It's Tyler Crook is the artist. You guys
Why
him?
Do I know that one?
He did Harrow County.
Yeah, he did Harrow County.
But I don't know what you know that name. You did read the first Harrow County, didn't you?
I'm wondering if I think I might have.
Yeah, he's got a really cool watercolor style. Anyway, this one is kind of like a... Maybe it's either fantasy or post-apocalyptic. I'm not actually sure which. But anyway, he lives in this village, and there's this giant stone golem who's like many stories tall, who like sort of walks around the town, is kind of outside of the town. Well, apparently people go to the golem, and they... He has moss growing on him, and if you harvest the moss, it has healing properties. So he goes and he harvests moss, and while he's up there harvesting the moss on this guy's giant shoulder, he finds this red stone, and he pulls this red stone off this stone giant. And then he goes back, and apparently back in town, he's like part of like a kids thieves guild where this lady takes people in and turns them into like pickpockets and thieves and stuff. Kind of like a guild for children. But anyway, apparently the stone giant starts going crazy and starts like tearing up the town, like attacking the town, which he doesn't normally do. So the kid figures out there's a connection between this, maybe this ruby that he stole and this stone giant. So then he's got to figure out how to get the stone back to the giant to hopefully calm him down or whatever. That's the basic gist of the story. But, you know, when he trashes the town, like some of his friends and mentors get killed and kind of that kind of thing. It's a really quick read. There's really not a whole lot to it. It's a pretty simple story, but it was fine. I don't think it blew me away or made me like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. But the art's cool. It's Tyler Crook. Tyler Crook's pretty
solid. It reminds me of Kelly Williams.
Yeah, because he does watercolor, kind of like Kelly.
I know.
He has kind of the same sort of line, and I definitely see some similarities.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a fun read, but nothing blew me away or anything. I mean, honestly, it's probably going to go in the purge pile.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth keeping.
Worth the $2 you spent, huh?
Well, it was $5.
Oh, okay.
It was worth reading, though.
Cool.
It's kind of like, yeah, like sometimes you'll see a movie and it's like, oh, that movie was fun. It blew a couple hours. It was entertaining. But it's not like I'm ever going to watch it again.
Yep.
Been so here, you'll love it. Read it. Take it.
I will. Is that okay?
I will. Yeah. In fact, keep it. It's yours now, Scott.
I touched it.
You touched it last.
I'm the last one to touch it.
I guess I have two.
Two?
I'll do this one. So this is a book called Blood Commandment.
Ooh, I don't want to touch that one.
From Image. It's Zymon Kadransky.
Say that 50 times fast.
Zymon, huh?
Zymon.
Zymon. Zymon. Wow, that's...
Zymon. So this guy's been around. He's done like some work with Spawn. He's done some other stuff. I like his art style. So that's pretty much why I bought this, just on the
name. Wow. Yes. You never do that.
And, yeah, I do. And I didn't even know what it was about. It was like, he's one of the dudes, I'll just buy it because he's doing
it. He's that good, huh?
Well, I mean, I enjoy his stuff, so.
Nice.
You
enjoy the...
So... Yeah, this was fine. The art was fine. It was a fine story. It's just, it's another...
Fine.
It's a vampire story, werewolf story, blah, blah, blah. It's got a little bit new stuff with it, but it's just like... There was enough, like, new... That's cool. It goes all the way onto the back. That's part of the story.
Wow.
Yeah, he used all of it.
All of it. I like a man who's efficient like that.
Yes. But the art's really cool. There's some cool fights and things.
Do you like Zymon Kadransky?
I do.
He did Spawn for a while, didn't he?
Yes.
So when they were trying to make Spawn more of a horror
movie. It is, yes. I wondered that about that too.
But yeah. So, I mean, it was fine. It was kind of like Drew said. I mean, it blew a couple hours, you know, or an hour or whatever, you know? Like, it entertained me.
Yeah.
It's nothing groundbreaking, nothing mind-blowing, but it was solid.
Solid.
If you're into, like, vampires and horror, I think...
I'm into vampires.
So every time that, like, I go through the previews...
Yeah.
I find less and less stuff that I'm interested in.
I've been having that problem lately.
And I wonder if it's because
it's all the same.
It's all the same. Mm-hmm. And I've seen everything. And it's just rehashing of old stuff. And I don't want to read it again. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm just getting to the point.
I think you get older. And
I think I'm getting to the point where I'm just getting older and I've seen everything. Or I've seen enough of what I want to see. And I just don't need rehashed stuff.
Here's the problem. I'd almost like rather go back and read something that I really enjoyed previously and relive it than do something new, which is a poor imitation in my mind.
Right.
What I've already
read. Well, I had this conversation, and it's kind of along the same veins with Kim. We were talking about how we were kind of having this conversation, and it's like now Marvel, like all the Marvel stuff, they're bringing everything back from 30 years ago. Like,
yeah.
They're revisiting, you know, all this other stuff, like... It's almost like the Hidden Years, like what Byrne did with like X-Men with the Hidden Years, but now they're going back and they're doing it with all the old storylines. Yeah. Like, what if this storyline or this, and they're bringing back like David Michelinie and Peter David, like all the older creators to like write all this stuff. And I'm
because they
like,
realize their audience is all those old people who grew up on that
stuff. But I don't. But I'm not buying that stuff because I'm like. I don't want to read a what if Green Goblin Spider-Man story that could have that should have happened 30 years ago. Yeah. I don't care.
Correct.
It's probably just me.
But no, I think it's a mixed bag. Like some people are like, "Oh, I love that. I'm going to read this new stuff. It's going to be great." And I used to be that guy.
Yeah.
But every time I went down that path, it was always a letdown.
Yes.
Like, you can't, and it's that whole old saying, you can't go home again, right? Yep. You can't go back to the past. You can't relive it. You can't, you can't redo that stuff.
Yep.
It's like, it's not the same.
I will, real quick, I didn't bring it in, because, but I've been reading a bunch of stuff, but they did that, you remember the Maestro, right? The Hulk or whatever from the future, Hulk, Future Imperfect.
Yeah.
They brought Peter David back, and he did 3 5-issue miniseries.
Okay.
That were
Maestro.
Set in that, and it was telling his backstory, and like the end of it ends where Future Imperfect starts.
So a prequel,
huh?
A prequel,
yes, a prequel. And I read those just recently; like they came out forever ago when I bought them and just stacked them, and then I sat down and read all of them, and they were decent, you know. But it had decent art; it was good writing. But the story was okay. So that's like an exception. So every once in a while I'll find something that's like kind of cool. You know what I mean? But at the end
of the day, here's my question. Did it make that original Future Imperfect story better, or did it make it worse? Like did it dilute it? Like if that Future Imperfect story just existed as itself without this extra series, would it have been stronger?
For me, it probably just diluted it.
Yeah.
But it didn't, but I can still enjoy that for what it is.
Sure.
Like I can put myself aside from it.
Well, it's kind of like I was talking to somebody was saying there's like a new Alien movie coming out, right?
Mm. I think so.
Okay. And it's called Romulus. I was like, oh, what's the concept? It's set between the first Alien and Aliens, the second movie.
Oh yeah.
Like it's in between. It's not a prequel. And it's not a sequel, it's in between. I'm like, is this where we're at now? Like, they don't want to go any further back, because you got, like, Prometheus, which was, like, a prequel, right? But
it's not the same. But, it's different characters.
No, just, I think it's about that Burt guy.
Mm. Is he coming back to play?
I think he's too old.
Isn't that Paul Reiser?
Yeah, he's soon they have to be a different actor, unless they can de-age him or something.
Okay, so
that's my understanding. Now, I didn't research this myself. This is just what someone told me, so I could be totally wrong. But I'm just like, so we're making in-between movies now. Yeah. You know?
I know that was definitely an idea. At. Now, if that's what they're going with, I don't know.
So in certain stories, like in certain worlds that they built, like with movies, like the Alien genre or whatever,
sure,
like the Alien world,
yeah,
I could see like if, but it doesn't, at first it made sense, but now it doesn't. But let's say like you wanted to tell a story in between but with different characters but in that time
sure
like I could get that,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But then it's like why what's so special about that time frame?
Yeah, like what story that needs to be told? There isn't, because those two movies went into the other ones perfectly. There was no need for a movie in between.
Right? But I would be more on board with something like that, with like new characters just set in that world or that time frame.
Yeah, you could totally do that.
Then going, oh, we're going to tell the story about Burke?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, why? Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't. If it's a good movie, though,
a good movie. I'm just saying, I don't know that it, like, the first Alien, the second Aliens are pretty damn good, a pretty perfect run. And now they got something in between, which may or may not be good.
You just do,
and so if it's not good, you're gonna, you like I said, it dilutes it, right?
It's like
it does dilute it.
It's like if they came
out, you can ignore it, but
it's like if they came out with a Ghostbusters 1.5, like in between Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2, like what happened in there? Like,
because put all new actors in there and everything else. Oh,
nope. Instead, we're doing the requels.
Actually, the age of the requels. What I was gonna say is that's I liked the first one.
The requel?
The Afterlife or whatever. Like, that was a decent movie.
Oh, yeah. It really was. And I'm kind of looking forward to watching Frostbite or whatever it is.
You know? Frozen Empire.
Frozen Empire.
Got horrible reviews.
Did it?
I really want to see Civil War. Are you guys excited about that?
I am. Not really. Kind of.
But I'll watch it.
Yes, I am.
Probably on it.
I was like, we were talking about movies the other, just a couple days ago at work, and I was like, when is that Civil War? Apparently it's coming out this week.
I think it's, yes.
It's this, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow or the day.
Or Friday.
Someone was saying it was coming out, like, Tuesday, but I think it was wrong.
And I was like, that might be a movie that I might actually go see in the theater, because I haven't really seen a movie in the theater.
Yeah. I was hoping I'd get Christy to see it, though. But she said that, or the reviews have said it's, like, really disturbing, hard to take. And so I'm like, I'm just afraid it's
just going
to
be, like,
no, it's getting really good reviews. Like, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's probably
pretty,
I think it's intense. It's dark, and it's probably going to...
That's right. Probably hits a little close to home.
Make you think.
Like, it almost...
Ooh, free comic book day.
It almost makes me, like... I get, like, a Purge vibe from it.
A little bit. I think it's a little more intelligent than the Purge.
Right.
Like, well thought out.
And I get that.
Because their director is also the writer, Alex Garland. I usually like the stuff that he directs and writes.
What else did he do? I know there's
Ex Machina. He did Annihilation.
There you go.
He did.
I've watched both of those.
He did Men, but I haven't seen Men yet.
I don't think I've seen either of those.
Annihilation, I watched it.
Ex Machina is good.
But Ex Machina is really good.
The Annihilation.
Annihilation's super good, too.
I'm not as much a fan. That's the one with Natalie Portman. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's a solid tale. I think that the story was a little unsettling for me, so, in general.
Well, I need to watch both of those.
But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch.
Fairly unsettling, but they're good, good, good. And he wrote some other movies before he started directing, too. I can't remember what else he did.
All right, who's next?
I think it's Scotty.
Is it? Cool. I read A Refrigerator Full of Heads. Damn, I gotta say that Don knows what the hell I kind of like. So, you know, it's worthwhile. This is just...
Don should probably give you more stuff to read.
This is just freaking fun, man. I mean, it is not... I cannot say it's, like, great, you know, writing or, you know, something just hugely original by any means. It's just, I don't even know that the story is even all that great, but man, it just flows. There's heads flopping. There's blood all over the place. It's just a fun. It's like when
it's
so
fun.
Well, no,
dude,
when
it
you
is, though,
when you went to what like a horror movie when you're a teenager or something, yeah. You know, and you watch say like things like Nightmare on Elm Street or Fred, Jason type movies, or you know, even as it was going on, you know, you had Final Destination, whatever, you know, even kind of Scream kind of falls into it, in which it's tries to be a little smart or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's a dumbass horror movie, you know, where kids are making stupid-ass decisions and whatever else. I'm not saying that kids are making dumbass decisions. This one has things, you know, with, like, a particular, what would you call it, Department of Defense, you know, type things that are trying to make sure that they get these freaking weird-ass, you know, magical objects, you know. But, I mean, the decisions are not the brightest, and I mean, people are just always killing one another or whatever else, you know, type things. And it's like, oh, well, the two of us are having a conflict. Okay, off with your head, you know, type things. So it's, but it's still, you've got a pretty clear bad guys, you got pretty clear good guys, and it's just the chaos that ensues when these two meet up. You know,
I didn't even bring up the fact that when they chop off that one biker's head and it rolls into the woods, and that dude takes like a whole journey like through the woods, like riding on deers and all kinds of stuff to get back.
To try to get back to wherever. But
my favorite part, though, has got to be the shark head.
Yes.
It is so awesome.
Yeah,
especially towards the end
out.
When she straps
it.
When she straps it to the car, she's just driving with
to take out the freaking giant snake. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about a shark head that's chomping away, and a fucking giant snake, and a head that's rolling around riding a deer. You know, I mean, there's these weird things that are in this thing that just makes it. It's like it makes no sense at all, and yet it's just. In the story, it does. It's just fun, you know, in this weird, demented kind of way.
That's the thing. That's a fun book. Like, just sit down and have fun.
It doesn't not yet. Read it. Check your brain at the door. Just go in, and you know, you don't even have. There's not that many words even in it. It just flows.
It's great for you.
Great.
It's not even that many words.
You know, it feels like just one of those. Just, and that's the fun thing is while it. it falls in the super, the kind of the clicks, you know, or whatever else, you know, these things of storytelling. Oh yeah, you got your heroes, your bad guys, you hit some, you know, conflict where it's like, ah, you know, and then things get resolved or whatever. But yet it feels strangely original with what they're doing, you know, with these type of artifacts and whatever else, you know, type things, magical items, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So, you know, and what they're doing with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would, to tell you the truth. I thought, oh, wow, Don's giving me something called a refrigerator full of heads, and what the heck am I going to do with this?
You guys need to go back and read Basket Full of Heads.
Yeah, I should give him Basket Full of Heads.
And part of what may have made it so good is the fact I had no expectations of it whatsoever.
Don gives you a comic, so you're like,
I'm kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. But, I mean, I think you're like 2 for 2 or at least 3 for 3 with me right at the moment. I don't know. It's pretty good.
He missed one.
So,
he gave you that
when I give him.
Was there one of them that he missed?
Wasn't it the zombie, the Army of Darkness, or Sergeant?
Oh, oh God, but I think we knew we were going
to
hate that.
Well, yeah, right? I just gave that to him because he needed something to read. Yeah, I told him he wasn't going to like it. Yeah, I think I told him he wasn't
going to
like
it. So, I mean, he was right about
I didn't even like it.
Because he was like, I don't really like this. Scott, what do you think? It was kind of the raccoon thing. Man, this tastes awful. Why don't you try this and see what you think?
Yeah.
You know?
Is this bad? Smell this.
Smell this, I know. Exactly. It's like one of my favorite. Is that the Geico commercials? Oh God, this is so bad. Here, you gotta try it. Where it's the raccoons talking to each other.
Absolutely. I read Harrow County Twice Harry Told. County. Harrow County Twice Told, Volume 2.
Nice.
But I guess I'm gonna tuck. I got this also at the $5 thing, so it's all about Tyler Crook, apparently, because this is Colin Bunn.
Did you read Tyler the first Crook one?
I did, like a couple years ago.
Gotcha.
So I didn't remember it super good, but I felt like Colin Bunn did a really good job of letting me jump in, and I remembered enough that I could follow along. I didn't really have to worry about too much, so it was a pretty it's pretty interesting. I really like this. Obviously the Tyler Crook art is cool, but the story is cool. Like, so I don't know if I barely remember the first Harrow County, but there's this girl who's like sort of made by a witch, and she's basically the witch of this like little town, and she's kind of like, there's a bunch of, they call them haints, but they're like little creatures or haunts or whatever around the town that she's basically the ambassador between the people of the town and the haunts. She kind of like keeps them in check and makes sure they don't kill people, and she trying to keep them like happy, and she's kind of like this cool person. Well, in this one, she has like a sister that was also made by this witch who made her, and the sister comes back and is like, hey, we're sisters, and acts like she wants to be her friend, but then starts to kind of try and take over the town. So it's kind of like a battle of wills between the two of them. So,
wow.
I feel like I like Colin Bunn, but he's very prolific. He puts out a lot of stuff, and not everything he does hits. But I love The Sixth Gun. And as far as that goes, I think this is his best thing that I like from him since The Sixth Gun. Like, it's my second favorite thing.
That one that you maybe had me
read? Oh, Midnight Club.
Midnight Club.
I would like to read that, but yeah, this is like a long series. Like, it's probably like 10 trades or something.
Okay, okay.
So that's why I'm comparing it to Sixth Gun. But yeah, I think that Midnight Club looks pretty cool too. But this is going to go for a while. And so, but yeah, it was really good. I really liked it. I was a big fan of. I guess I'm going to have to keep reading them. Because the first one I read, I was like, this is really good. I wonder if they can keep it going. And then I found it cheap. No, it's not. It's the main series.
Okay.
And so I got it. I'm like, man, it's pretty good. I guess I'm going to have to read the rest.
I don't know that I finished it, but I have all the library editions of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever read all of it. But then they started coming out with the Tales of the Harrow County. Yeah. And I have those, too. But
those aren't Tyler Crook, right? Or are they?
I'm not sure. I'll
swipe this one
because
well.
I don't even know.
I'll just have a title.
Do you remember the first one?
I don't know. They might come back
to me.
Do you
want it?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I'm good. I don't like to reread things twice.
I went to the comic book store and I found a couple things out of their dollar bin.
What is this place?
The Schlub was in the dollar bin?
Yeah, it was
that literally just came out.
I know. This is at Wizards. They must just be clearing
out. But Wizards is trying to clear out stuff.
They're movies, so they must be clearing stuff out.
So now's the time to go to Wizards.
I bought Savage Sword of Conan because it had Alan Davis art.
I see that.
And then I started reading it and immediately regretted it because it's written by the horrible Roy Thomas. He's at Heroes Con. I'm going to go to Heroes Con and tell him he's a horrible person.
Well, no, but he's the co-creator of Wolverine now.
That's why he's a horrible person. Yeah, I know. We're on the same page. So anyway,
Okay.
So
it's the whole story.
So the Alan Davis
part. You don't
part,
follow the news on no, Facebook he doesn't. Or comic so the, or anything.
So. Let me get this done, then we can okay, we can okay, revisit okay, that okay, if you okay, want. Okay. But I don't want to derail right, my review. Right. Because I got some momentum right. going. So the Alan Davis art is super cool. I like Alan Davis doing Conan. Alan Davis has always been one of my favorite, like, superhero comic book type artists, you know, in that vein. And he does a really nice job with Conan. I really liked it. But, man, Roy Thomas overwrites the crap out of this. And he probably didn't even write it. He probably, like, had some assistant or somebody write it. You know what I mean? Like, I doubt he actually wrote this. But, man, if he did write it, he's horrible. Like, he's still writing like he's in the 70s or something. It's just so bad.
Well, he probably is in the 70s.
I mean, the story is okay, simple, but okay. But just the dialogue and the... Oh, my God. It's just... Man, Alan Davis pulled his crappy script out of the toilet and saved it and made it at least readable.
Yeah.
That's what I say. All right. And then I got the schlub.
Yeah. I did not
they
buy
They stole
that.
Kim's idea a little bit.
Oh, really?
Well, it's kind of like a Mr. Right thing, right?
So, I don't like, know. I didn't buy it.
So the concept is there's this annoying, like, overweight dentist guy or whatever, you know, and he's like, you know, I think his wife is divorcing him and his practice is in shambles and he's a jerk and he's trying to, like, get this dental patient to, like, sign stuff and do extra work on her and all this stuff. Well, while he's doing that, like, the superhero and this supervillain break into his office and bust through the wall. Cool panel there.
That's pretty nice.
But anyway, well, then they have some weird artifact, and the artifact makes this dentist guy's mind switch with the superhero guy's mind. So now this annoying, horrible dentist guy is now has the power of, like, a giant superhero, and he tries to fight the supervillain, and he's really bad at it, and the supervillain's, like, there in his body. Or, I'm sorry, the superhero is it there in his body and is, like, trying to coach him, and he's not listening, and, you know. So
it's not
that's
like,
the concept.
Right, but it's not, like... That's not a brand new concept.
Is it not? I don't know. It's not the most new concept.
I mean,
I don't know that...
There are variations of it. Variations. I'm not saying that it's not original, but I mean, if you go down...
I don't know, I think Kim has a pretty good lawsuit going if he wants
to pursue. Okay, cool, because I would love to sue him.
No, I'm kidding. But no, this is... It was fairly entertaining. It gets a little... overwrought, a little wordy for
See, that's
what it's
what
supposed to be.
I was.
It's not as funny as Mr. Right. I'm sorry to say, it's not as tightly written.
Of course, it's not.
It's not.
Well, okay. So, with like the only
the art is really cool. The Tyrell Cannon does it. He's a pretty cool artist. I didn't really know him either. I think I went to him on Instagram. He does some really cool like commissions and stuff. Like he has this really cool like cable commissions that he did and stuff.
Nice.
When it got solicited, it was like the only name I noticed on there was Stegman. Yeah. And he's only co-writing it.
Correct.
He's not doing the art. And there were like so many names on that thing. I was like, how can this even be good if it's got like 8 names on it.
I think I just bought it because it was $1.
Well, I don't blame you there.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to buy the second issue. I'm probably not going to buy the trade unless I see it like for $5
right.
where the Harrow County stuff
that's
is.
Why I, that's why I didn't get it.
But yeah, no, it's not good enough that I'm going to like buy it. But I was actually out of stuff to read.
Wow.
So I was reading these dollar issues.
So basically what the way I understand it is that the new Wolverine Deadpool Wolverine movie, whatever you want to call it, that's coming out.
Yes.
So Marvel got a hold of basically Marvel.
They're going to give Roy Thomas credit for creating Wolverine.
Co-credit for creating Wolverine.
Currently the credit is Lynn Wayne and John Romita Sr. had the credit.
Her friend.
He did not have credit. I don't believe.
Okay. So
he did not get any credit for
Lynn Wayne wrote it. John Romita designed the costume.
Yeah.
But Herb Trimpe
drew the
issue.
Yeah, but he didn't create anything.
Okay.
It was given to him and he drew it. So he does not have creator credit now.
But although it's weird, it's funny now because now all those three guys are dead.
And Roy Thomas has now come in and said he wants credit for helping you create Wolverine. He was the editor at the time.
He was the editor.
And he claims, and it's probably true, he claims he told Lynn Wayne to design a Canadian character and name him Wolverine, since Wolverines are native to to Canada.
Okay.
Because he wanted a Canadian character because they have...
Right.
Because they had a big readership in Canada at the time.
Here's where everything gets weird, though, especially back then.
Like, okay.
Okay, so he told him to create a Canadian character, and he gave him a name.
Yep.
Does, and I don't know the answer, does that give him co-creator credit?
So, here's the deal. So, editors were supposed to, like, guide the creative team, right?
Yes.
Historically, editors that were employed by the company never got creator credit for anything because they were editors. Their job is to, like, be an editor, make story suggestions. If they say, hey, John Byrne, you really should kill, shouldn't kill Phoenix. He doesn't get credit for writing that story. He's just an editor.
Right.
That's what he does. He doesn't get a writing credit. He doesn't get, that's what editors do, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you write a book and you have an editor says, hey, you should change this line to this. You don't say, oh, that editor helped me write that book. I'm going to have written by me and the editor, right? Because that's what editors do.
Yes.
That's their job. They're paid by the company that publishes whatever it is.
Right.
They don't get fucking creator credit. And I don't really like Mark Waid anymore. He annoys me, all right? He came out and said, historically, editors that are employed by the company never have ever been given creative credit on anything. He's like, this is completely against regular tradition convention of how the publishing world works to do this. And for once in my life, I agree with Mark Waid 100%. It's ridiculous.
I think it is too.
And I think Roy Thomas is just being a dickhead.
Right.
And like you said, the guys who could argue about it are dead.
Yes. So I'm not.
Not that it matters at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So that's where I'm going. Like, I'm not a guy with a big ego. I haven't created a bunch of. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't have anything to, like, fight about, right?
Sure.
Like, I didn't.
You didn't edit create Wolverine?
I didn't create Wolverine. I haven't created anything. But, like, at the end of the day, what the fuck does Roy Thomas. Like, who cares?
Because
like,
he's an egomaniac. He wants credit for doing something that you normally don't get credit for, and he wants his name in the history books.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just don't get that.
And I don't even think... And he's like, well, there's... Well, he keeps saying there's no money involved.
Right.
But I think there is some money, because I think they do give some kind of, like... At their discretion, they give sometimes the creators, like, a little payment when they use a character that person created. So I think there is some money. He keeps claiming there's no money. There is money. Okay. And so he's full shit for that.
I would understand the money more than anything.
But here's a funny story. Someone who I won't name because I like the guy a lot. But he had a Hulk like 180 or 181. And he had it graded. And he had it signed by Roy Thomas. I'm like, why the fuck are you having the first appearance of Wolverine signed by Roy Thomas? Well, Lin Wayne is dead. Herb Trimpey's dead. John Romita Sr.'s dead. And so he was the editor, so I'll have him sign it.
Right, like, he's the only guy left.
Only guy left. So maybe Roy Thomas does get money, because if he's like the co-creator of Wolverine, how many people are going to have him sign comics and pay him? You know what I mean? Have it CGC graded.
He can charge for it.
And he can charge for it now. It's like, well, I'm the co-creator of Wolverine, according to Marvel. Like, yeah. So I'll have me sign your Wolverine comics and $50, you know?
We had the exact same conversation me and Kim did about, because we were talking about it. And I was like, brought the same thing up. And I was like, man, maybe that guy's a genius. Maybe he saw into the future like 2 years or whatever.
Well, especially and with the way that now everything's charging.
Now he has the only book signed by the co-creator.
Correct. It's a fucking genius move. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's such a freaking sleazy thing to do.
Yeah.
And there's no need for it.
No.
I don't think Roy Thomas is hurting for money. As far as he claims he isn't.
Oh, it's not about money. I just want credit where it's due.
I think Roy Thomas is the one, like...
credit.
He goes to these conventions. Like, he goes to Planet. He was at Heroes.
He's going to be at Heroes again.
Right. But I think he only goes for, like, one day.
Yeah. Or 2 days. Well, he's like 80.
I'm only appearing Saturday.
How old is Roy Thomas? Look it up, Scott.
I don't know. I'm sure.
He'll do.
I'm sure he's old.
But excuse me. Here's the thing about Roy Thomas is, like, he's always been a hack. Like, okay, like, you know, he gets all that credit for the original Conan comics. Okay, Barry Windsor Smith is the one who made those comics. Even Barry Windsor Smith hates Roy Thomas because he's like, yeah, I did all the fucking work. I was writing it. I was storyboarding it. And Roy Thomas is over there signing his fucking name as writer. It's like, I did everything. I plotted it. I scripted it. I pasted it. He just came in and, like, took a story and, like, adapted that dialogue into the story.
83.
Yeah. So even then he was a fucking hack. He's still a hack.
I don't have a horrible opinion or a great opinion. I'm like just straight on five, middle of the road on Roy Thomas. I could take him, I could leave him. I don't have hate. I don't have dislike for him.
He's basically Stanley.
And I don't have, like, I'm not going to stand up and, like,
yeah,
shake the,
you know,
let's all get behind,
I don't really
Roy
care
Thomas
either,
flag,
but I just
train or whatever.
Yeah, it just seems like a dick move to me.
I'm the same way. I'm just like, I don't understand.
I don't see,
like,
the point.
Why does it even, why
because
it even
he wants to be, oh, creative Wolverine. Yeah. It's ego. He just wants. And yeah, he did one little thing that normally you don't get a creator credit for.
Right.
But whatever. I mean, Rob Liefeld gives co-creator credit to Fabian Nicieza, and he doesn't bitch too much about it.
He does.
A little bit. But he accepts that that's the way it was, and that's how it's done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No.
Because Fabian Nicieza wrote the book, and that's how it's done. Roy Thomas did not write the first appearance of Wolverine. That's not the way it's done.
I know. But he does not consider...
He doesn't.
Him to be the co-creator.
But he goes around and says he's the co-creator, and Rob, yes, Liefeld doesn't go around writing, you know... He doesn't complain about it that much.
Yes. No, I get it. Get it.
Because that's the convention. That's how it was done, right?
Yeah.
If you wrote the story, you get a co-creator, right, credit.
So, here's the...
Okay. Doesn't Louis Simon get a co-creator credit on Cable?
No, I don't think so.
Didn't she write the issue?
I don't think she did. I think he was writing it by then.
No,
I think he'd already pushed her out.
No, I don't think he did. But
I don't know.
But Louise Simonson is such a class act. She doesn't go around saying, oh, I co-created Cable. Right? Because she's not an egomaniac. She's a really nice, sweet person.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Well, okay. It depends. Which now I just saw, like, recently, like, on the news, the whatever. The news, but like comic book news, not like on channel.
Not on channel.
Not
3.
On ABC, nightly news or anything. News. But Rob Liefeld is going to write
a tell-all memoir.
Call
it tell-all.
I think they touted it as a tell-all.
I know. He's going to tell his story.
He's going to tell his story.
Yeah. Which he's already been doing in his Rob Serrano.
Right. And I know. I'm like, I think he's just going to transcript.
Yeah. We'll have like a ghostwriter too. They'll take all the stories and weave into it.
But I mean, I think because I used to listen to a lot of it, then I got away from it. Now I'm kind of a little bit back on it, but whatever. I can only take him in small doses.
Yeah, because he's a lot.
And especially on the podcast that he does, because he spends like the first 20 minutes, it feels like 20 minutes, it's probably only 5 or 10, but every episode it's like he has to tell who he is, what he's done,
yeah,
his history of when he got into comics and how he loves comics, and it's just like...
It's a much. It's
like,
a lot.
Oh my God. But I know that, like, I listened to some of that stuff early on, especially about, like, Deadpool and Cable and stuff like that. And I think that he either... I know he came up with the concept.
Yeah, he came up with the concept,
and
he brought him to the writers, and they
they
got the writing credit, but he was kind of helping plot it. He told them who the character was, and he kind of had ideas.
Yeah, so, I mean...
It was a collaboration.
That gets a little tricky, though. Like, if you're the artist on the book...
And you come up with the character.
And you come up with the character, and you come to the writer, and you're like, okay, I've already got it all planned. It's this, 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 and this. You know what I mean?
But the writer still wrote the script, right?
Yeah.
They put words in that person's mouth, and they did a lot of stuff.
So
I mean...
Right.
They probably deserve it.
Let me ask you a question.
They deserve
it because, like, I think I know the answer, but let's just discuss it. So I was listening to...
Rob's observations
today, and he was talking about original art.
Okay,
so like back in the day,
yeah,
it and probably still now, if it's done hard copy, the penciler would always get 2/3 of the pages,
and the inker would get a third,
uh-huh. And then the inker would get every third cover.
Okay,
is the way that it used to be done.
Sure, when you had an inker and a penciler,
right?
Yeah,
so. If the writer is that integral to the story, why is the writer not getting pages?
He didn't draw it or ink anything.
But he... You know what I'm saying? Like, if
I
you want to get
saying.
Down to the nitty-gritty and
he can
just
keep the
go
original
down
script
to the...
pages. I think it's because artists were paid crap, and so this was one little thing they could have is their original art. And I think they also owned it, right? For a while, they didn't even give the artist the original art. They had to to get that back at some point. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. But per convention, it's not done that way.
What was interesting is he was talking about original art and collecting original art and stuff like that. And so, of course, he was talking about the John Byrne and the Terry Austin run on X-Men.
Yeah.
And that Terry Austin has kept every single page that he's ever done. He's never sold it. He's keeping it.
Fucking genius.
Right? But
he's kept every page he's ever done
of the X-Men. Oh, okay.
The John Byrne X-Men.
I don't know if he's kept every. Walt Simonson has.
Walt Simonson doesn't sell his original art.
All right, he has every page he's ever done that he's gotten.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like their house? Like how much shit that is? Like that has got to be.
I don't know. It's a few stacks.
It's a lot of stacks. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But he was saying that, like, and he even said that, like, Terry Austin, he's never going to sell it. He actually had it, and I heard this story before. I think it was from Rob Liefeld or whatever. But he has it in his will that when he dies, all that artwork's going to be donated to a museum. That's cool. Never going to be sold to collectors.
Does he not have kids?
Going to go on the market. I don't know.
Because if he had kids, I'd be pissed.
But his point was, so like, let's say there was a 3-year run there.
Dad, I can make $1 million off that crap.
That stuff is insane. Like, any, just the crappiest interior page of a John Byrne.
Rough draft.
And a John Byrne, Terry Austin inked page from Uncanny X-Men is minimum like, $15,000 to $30,000.
Wow. Like it might be higher.
Probably even higher.
Because there's probably not that much.
There's not that much.
No, there isn't. And that's the whole point. Yeah. Because a third of it is never going to hit the market.
Yeah.
So if it was whatever, 30 issues, like how many pages is that? And he has a third of it plus a third of the covers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, stuff's never going to come out. So it is a very. There's not that much of it out there.
No, and it's a very seminal run. Like, it was influential, and so many of us remember it fondly.
Yeah.
I mean.
He was talking on the podcast. He has 23 pages.
Of that John Byrne stuff?
Of John Byrne.
Uncanny X-Men stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
23 pages.
What's the sad part is he probably bought those fuckers dirt cheap.
Some of them, yes. But some of them have been recent.
Oh, recent.
Well, I mean, I think like 10,000. Like maybe he's paid 10,000 per page or something. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of it.
He got. Well, those image guys, they were into that stuff. So when they got their big paychecks, they were like, I'm going to buy a bunch of original art.
He talked about, I know we're talking about another podcast, but he talked about
we don't talk about other podcasts.
Like it was later after, because Image had already started He went to Jack Kirby's house.
Yeah.
When Jack Kirby was still alive. I think Jack Kirby was still. Maybe he had passed away. I can't remember.
He was still alive.
It sounded like he was still alive.
Okay.
But Kirby was selling original art out of his house.
Okay.
And he went to the house and it was complete issues of Jack Kirby stories. Yeah. It was all the DC stuff. It wasn't.
But still.
He said he walked out of there with an entire page, an entire book of Mr. Miracle, an entire book of Forever, Forever People, an entire book of Commandy, like whole issues.
Yeah.
OMAC. Yeah. Like 4 complete issues of Kirby artwork.
Absolutely.
It was like, I took my checkbook.
Yeah. I'm
just like,
Kirby was happy to sell it.
I'm sure he was. But that's the thing. It's like so long ago, like, yeah. Because he talked about, like, he was like, you know, when I was a kid, like in the 70s, you know, he was like, I was going to conventions and I was buying, you know, George Perez,
Wish I was buying pages when I was a kid.
And,
of course, I was a lot of money when I was a kid. I wasn't rich like Rob Liefeld.
Well, he wasn't when he was a kid.
He was rich.
No, his
all
parents,
those image guys are fucking rich.
Not well, when he was a kid.
Not when he was like 12.
No.
Yes. You know, his parents were well-to-do.
No, they weren't.
They were wealthy, Don.
I've listened to his podcast.
They were upper middle class.
Yeah, but his dad got sick.
Okay.
I mean, they were, but They were talks what? About, they weren't poor.
No, they were upper middle class.
Okay. But he always talks about, and maybe he's full of shit and he's feeding me full of shit, but all the time on his podcast, he's like, it was all, I would mow lawns and I would save money and I would do this and, you know, maybe.
But I don't know his life.
He also talks about how, like, they would get, his parents would take him to the mall.
Yeah.
And they would go out for pizza every Friday night and go to the mall. And
yeah. His so maybe, would buy maybe they were just comics middle class
or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway.
They didn't like live in the slums or anything.
No.
He was a fairly well-to-do suburban kid. How about that?
It's fine.
Jim Lee was going to medical school.
Yeah.
He's not like he was, you know.
Oh my gosh. You guys are on that sketch thing. Did you see that? Oh, this has totally gone off the rails. Did you see that post about Jim Lee's opened up commissions?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane, dude.
His prices.
Some dude posted a thing. It was either on Cartoonist Kayfabe or it was on Sketch Prices. But he's opened up a limited number of commissions.
Yeah.
To shows that he's going to.
Okay.
You have to go to his show.
Yeah.
It was like a single character, like 11 by 17 with maybe some back, like a little bit of background.
20 grand.
Yes. Oh. Like 20 to 30 grand.
That's what I would charge.
Down to, if I was Jim Lee. Down to like a 6x9 headshot is like two grand or something. Then it said something on there about, on the.
We were doing so good on our time.
The largest one.
I believe
it was
God.
Like, if you want a recreation, please inquire.
Okay.
But yeah.
Let's move along.
All right, sorry.
John's gone on a huge tangent.
We have Void Rivals, VPRD, and Time.
And then the Goon.
Time Squared. And the Goon and Deadly Class.
All right, I read BPRD Omnibus Volume 10. This is the final BPRD Omnibus.
Scott, now that Drew's done, I'm going to start reading BPRD.
So okay.
That
I can talk
so
about it now. About it now.
This is kind of the end of the end. Like, this ends Hellboy saga. Like, I thought Hellboy and Hell was the end. It was not. This is the end of
the end of the end.
End of
but
the
they're
end.
Still making BPRD and Hellboy comics.
Yeah, but they're all in the past.
They are.
Because I don't want to spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
Okay. But this is the end, Don.
Okay, cool. I'm going to read it.
Like, when I say a book ends, this book ends.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, but it's cool. Like, Hellboy comes back from hell, and he's in this one.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so Hellboy from...
I am going to start reading.
Hellboy from hell is back, and Liz is back, and Abe comes back. It's like they get the gang back together, and the big bad comes back, and they have a big throwdown. Oh, man, it's like the culmination of a giant series or movie.
When this book ends, it ends.
Yeah, I'm looking... Don's gonna read it, so I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, I think.
Do you like it though?
Oh yeah, it's really good.
You felt like it all came together. And...
Yeah, it came together fine. I mean, I don't know if there was like these giant, like encompassing, like strands of the story that all like paid off and came together. I mean, it's still kind of like a basic, fun action adventure comic type of thing. It's funny, I ended it, I'm like, man, I almost want to go back and read like all the Hellboy and all the BPRD again to just kind of pull it all together in your head, you know? Because, I mean, I read Hellboy years ago, and then I read all these BPRDs now, and they do kind of intersect. And there's a few other, like, series that kind of intersect, too. So there's, like, a timeline order you can read it in. So it'd be interesting. But, yeah, BPRD is really good.
Hmm.
Mike Mignola even draws a few pages in this last one.
Nice.
Like, he pops in and you does, can. Like, a few pages.
I can't do that.
But
okay, sorry.
But yeah, no, it's cool.
You can't actually though on your damn dumbass phone.
There you go.
I really doing it right I'm now. Really happy with the BPRD and the way it ended and the whole series. They did a really good job of taking all these side characters.
Are you laughing at me or the price?
I'm laughing at just being.
And giving them gravitas and kind of developing them, and so you really get this it becomes this ensemble cast book, and he does a good job of giving each character just enough. Things to do and make them interesting to where you have like a great tapestry.
Guess what I got in the mail today?
What?
My Savage Dragon Ultimate Collection Volume 2 finally.
Volume 2? That came out like months ago.
I know, and I forgot to buy it. And then I was going to order it.
Oh, she finally.
And then I kept
it?
Forgetting and putting it off, and I finally ordered it and I got it today. So
cool.
I have it.
All right. Great. All right.
So I read, since Scott's busy, I read Howard Chaykin's Time Squared Omnibus, which collects.
Is that a Kickstarter?
All of. I think they did, but no, I ordered this straight out of Image.
Cool. Can I see it?
Yeah.
That way you won't be able to.
I think it collects. It collects all of the Times Squared stuff, and the last story is like new, like recent.
Yeah.
I think there's three, at least, possibly four. So the it's nuts, right?
That's expensive.
So the first right one,
Drew's wheelhouse,
was like, yes, he should get two.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's gonna go the first up. One.
The first one is like an American flag special. So I think the way I read it and the way I'm gonna understand it is like his way into this Times Squared universe was through American flag, right? So like he used those characters. Like that, whatever, that main American flag character, Reuben, like he gets transported to like this Times Squared universe.
Yeah, okay.
And so then after that, then he's open to tell all these stories in this Times Squared universe. Because Reuben flag does not appear. None of the American flag stuff appears in it. It just becomes its own thing.
Was it any good?
I'm a big Howard Chicken fan.
Yes, so.
With
that lens, was it any good?
I did enjoy it. I don't think you would.
Because all the words?
Right, because of all the words.
My God, it's so many words.
It is a lot of words. Holy it's shit. It's kind of hard to... It's very dated. I mean, like, because it came out in the 80s, like when American Flag came out.
I'm so trying to reread American Flag. And
I want to now rough. After reading this. I'm just curious.
It can be rough.
It. But
it's one of those things you really have to be...
Right.
Focused.
It was middle of the road. Like, it wasn't the greatest thing I ever read. But I had the first... I've read the first one, but I could never find the other stuff. Like, you know what I mean? And so, like, yeah. I figured, oh, this came out. It's got a new story. I'll just buy it, and then I have all of it, like, together, and I can read it.
I wonder if modern coloring... doesn't do Howard Chicken any favors. Like, is it better with, like, more of the flat color, his art style? Because when you do the modern coloring, they try and do, like, you know...
The shading. All that stuff.
I don't know if that's necessarily the best look for his stuff.
Right.
But, I don't know. I'm not a colorist.
It's one of those things that I've been wanting to read, like, for probably 20 years Times or 30 Square. Years. You know what I mean? Like, the Times Square stuff.
Live up to the hype.
I mean, no.
You're glad you read it, but...
I'm glad I read it, but it's not anything
it's not like it blew you away.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fair. Oh, man, we're back to Scott. He's got to do the last thing before the Void Rivals. Cool. And we all read Void Rivals?
Yeah.
Let's talk nice. About it then.
I read it. I
Void
read it.
Rivals.
Void's a triple I team.
I had ago. No idea that this was, out. Like, Transformers related.
I have no
but it so barely, it else barely is.
Yeah, it's just it at the very end. Much.
Not at the very end. I mean, no, they talk about the shit throughout.
Yeah,
they
really?
They get, I mean, hell, it's in this freaking part, like right here, and they're stranded. All of a sudden,
it's in the first or second issue.
Oh, it suddenly transformed into a fucking jet.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's been 12 years since I read it.
It only came out a year ago. It's only anyway, been like it's only like issue sorry. Nine.
It's okay. Yeah, it's very fresh in my mind. But yeah, you got that, and then they do some other cuts to like Cybertron, and what the fuck is up with the like this thing? With the freaking, like, multiple heads and whatnot.
I don't know. He's got so many concepts going on in that
It
thing.
Seems like this is something I should be familiar with, maybe from the Transformer universe, but...
Oh, you think that's Transformers?
I don't know.
It might be. Okay, what's but, the basis of the story? Isn't it, like, there's two factions, and they
Yeah, they live on, like, the same, like, planet?
They get stranded well, okay, so did like I that? Understand this correctly? So here's what I took it as.
I guess I need to read
There was two planets that were orbiting... Something that was dying, okay? Mm-hmm. Like a dying sun.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like a ring planet.
Then exactly. So then they came together over all the years and created this ring that circles that sun. And so half of it is one group and half of it is the other. So they're all tied together, you know, type
things.
But
it's split in half.
But it's split in half with one group and the other.
One
and they don't
side
seem to
seems to
talk
do, be doing a lot worse than the other side. And they're well, fighting.
That's right. Yeah,
it's like a long war.
One side seems to be better off than the other. See, look, there's shockwave. Like, this is in the middle of the day.
Okay.
So, anyway. All
right. Maybe I was just so excited when I read the first issue that it was the Transformers thing.
Yeah.
That it's been so long since I've read it, since you guys caught up. that like was I it remember that old? It being a cliffhanger.
Man, I didn't even realize.
So the other thing that Scott left out was that these two factions, they all wear masks, so they all think the other side is like this ugly, horrible people. Yeah. But it turns out that they're both like exactly humanoid. The same.
Yeah, right.
They're both human, and they look
very
exactly
it's
the same.
Very look. Very looks similar, except for one has a red or star jewel. Trek. One's got a red jewel and one's got a green
and
jewel.
I've got a ball and a star.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
There's a Star Trek episode. Like
that yeah. Too. So instead, they got like different jewels in their head.
Right.
So
yeah.
And they're somehow stranded together, right?
I got a little bit of an... Do you guys remember that movie Enemy Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a little bit of an Enemy Mine vibe from the first couple issues. They kind of goes past that.
Jr. And who was the...
Dennis Quaid.
Was it Dennis Quaid? Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And then I get a little bit of Saga from this, too. Do you guys get a little Saga vibe?
I could see that, too, as well. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I got more Saga than...
Enemy Mine. Enemy Mine was just the beginning when they're stranded.
Yeah, at the beginning.
And then they
and
get off.
That doesn't last too long.
It doesn't last that long.
I will give it... I mean, it's typical Kirkman. He does not... He knows how to pace, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, like, even though the concept isn't super original and it kind of has a lot of callbacks to other stuff,
yeah,
it's really well written and fun and paced, and it's just done well.
I still admire that with him. You know, he knows how not to stay on something for too long.
I really enjoyed it when I read
set
it.
Up and just keep going.
I was excited to talk about it. Yeah, I thought you guys had read it.
No, it's really solid. I really enjoyed it. I'll definitely buy the next one. And I like Kirkman. Like Scott says it fine. It's like he paces well. He just does a good job. He does good character development. Like I thought both the characters were well developed and you kind of were rooting for both of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, as you get in, you turn out there's like a big conspiracy. Like these planets are trying to like keep this war going for like profit.
They
or
are.
For whatever control.
Well, for something. You know,
for some, you're
I
not quite
know.
Sure what.
Yeah. That's the feel I got. I'm not entirely sure why they're trying to keep it apart, but there's something that's giving them a reason to keep them split.
Correct. They haven't really said what. The thing that throws me a little bit is they throw the Transformers in there, right?
Yeah.
But then they throw all these other, like, weird races and civilizations.
Well, that's where I was going with it. That weird thing where the guy was a bounty hunter and bringing that weird snake man to, like, this four or three-headed thing.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're even kind of like, we need to go talk to the blah, blah, blah people are doing something. So it's
there's like
some...
a greater story universe that's kind of
they're
just kind of hinting at.
Yep, exactly right.
And so that's interesting as well. It has a lot going on in it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that it was part of this bigger universe. I think
exactly. Too. So yeah, no, it was really.
But I don't know how much of a thing, how much that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because in my opinion, it was kind of pulling me a little bit out of the story at this
point.
It
was a little bit.
Although, like, for the world building, for the overall, I can understand why it may be there. But if I was just reading Void Rivals, I'm kind of like, why the hell did fucking, you know, Shockwave just show up, you know?
Yeah.
Or why do you have to show me that this fucking jet's been here for God knows how long and all of a sudden it transformed into a robot and then flew off?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of jarring there for... something, but
yeah, I don't know if that three-headed thing is from Transformers or not. I don't know.
It may not be. It may be from something else that was part of the Hasbro universe. But it seems like that thing looks familiar as hell.
It does kind of have
so
familiar.
Something that I've seen in the '80s, and I can't quite place it.
Yeah,
because I'm old.
Yeah. So, but no, it was pretty entertaining. I felt it was well put together.
All right, you guys talk about the game.
Oh, we have to do Deadly Class. I forgot about that.
Deadly Class.
I didn't get as far. I got to, like, issue
So this section is
17.
All talking about, basically, the in-between after they...
After they did the big heist or whatever.
After they did the big...
The big operation, whatever. They assassinated or they fought those guys.
They fought those guys, right? So this
basically
is
basically the fallout
this
from
is
that.
The fallout from that where they were fighting her ex-boyfriend's dad and that type of crap.
Right? Yeah, there's that. There were a couple issues of that.
So you've got a couple issues of that. It doesn't last very long. It's like two or three issues. So it really surprised me that that wrapped up so quickly as it did.
I like the action of that.
But you got that. Then you got the aftershocks of the school, you know,
like,
trying to figure that
out.
What
I'm reading now, and I didn't get all the way, but it's like three issues of him just moping around, doing drugs, and complaining. She left, but I still love her. Oh, my best friend's dating her.
But, you know, the school seems to almost takes the Latin girl and I don't know if they kill her or what they do.
What they do to
something
her, yeah.
has happened there where they poisoned her, and now she's taken away from the school.
Correct.
You know, type things.
Yeah.
Because of either revenge or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, our poor, you know, protagonist here is moping around.
Yeah, like three issues of that.
He's all pissed off because now is like exactly his best friend's there, so he's self-destructing himself. You know, and.
I feel like that could have been one issue.
I was telling you that was one of the things that I disliked about this particular arc is that just seems to last too long.
Does it pick up in the last couple issues?
Well, then, yes. It gets to a point where they fight. So I don't know if he hit the part, but they talk something about why is the freshman class as big as it is?
Oh, yeah. They talked about that. Ones. Yeah, why it's so
much there's bigger. A payoff to that because they bring everybody into an auditorium.
It's going
to
be like a big
and they tell
royale.
Them what the final exam is, yeah. which is to get rid of the rats, which is essentially just take
fight
everybody
to
fuck
and
fight amongst yourselves. Gotcha. And the last one standing can do
whatever.
They
were kind of hinting at that. I didn't get that far. But.
So that picks things back up again because, yeah, now you got people that are dying left, right, and center all over the place. And essentially where I kind of ended the arc is the fact that, and I don't, no, it's not leading you too much, but our protagonist gets off the school grounds.
Oh, okay.
And so our so-called, what would you call him, the principal or the top guy tells our Asian girl and her boyfriend, you got to go find him. So, you know, type things. So it's kind of, to me, that was kind of a natural, okay, this seems like it's finally setting up another arc, you know,
Correct.
Type of things. But it's interesting that school dynamics now, it seems like the... some of the jocks and our fat brainiac that was roommates with our protagonists are now leading the school. So
gotcha. Yeah, I just think that those three issues of where he's moping, that could have been like one issue. And then
I would agree.
I would agree.
It took a while to get through that as well.
It took a lot of him just narrating, emoting, you know what I mean? And it's just kind of rambling. And I'm like, dude.
But, I mean, it's typical, I think, of some of these kind of stories. I think if Harry Potter did that, you know, you think Star Wars did that with some whining.
Harry Potter at least waited to, like, the fourth
I think there's
or fifth
some of
book.
The other ones. What's that?
Harry Potter at least waited to, like, the fifth book. Or
they did, but, I mean, it was almost the entire effing book, you know, so.
I know, but he was going through puberty.
But there's a lot of them. This guy practically is too. He's 15, you know, so I mean, maybe it's a little bit past that. But, you know, it is some of that type of aspect of things of, you know, it seems like our hero has to self-destruct, break down, whatever you want to say, especially in these teenage years because they're those type of things. So it's okay, but you're like, I'm with you for something that was so action-packed and so moving at a quick pace that really slows things down.
Yeah.
And it really... It was a bit of a struggle to get through those, not just one, but three issues practically of that.
Oh, another thing that annoyed me a little bit. Do you guys both remember Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
I do remember that one.
The artist or the writer did not understand that game at all because they have them playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And at one point, they're playing each other. And first of all, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is not a two-player game.
It was not.
And then they have Mike Tyson fighting one of the, like, bald bull. And I'm like, no, they don't. It's all Little Mac against everybody. And they're like, Mike Tyson's kicking your butt. I'm like, what? And then, okay, and they're playing on a home system, right? And they're like, body blow, body blow. It's like, that's from the arcade machine. The Nintendo one never said body blow, I don't think. It was all just punching. There was no body blow. So, like, he's mixing up the game, and he's got the wrong voice. I was like, dude, you need to do your research on because that is not at all accurate. So that's kind of annoying.
Okay.
So, you know.
No,
just saying.
I can see that. It can pull you out of the story.
It does, because you're like, this isn't right. Just
isn't
do
accurate.
A little research.
That's
if
right.
If you're going to throw a video game in there, maybe play the video game.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Just do your
Throw some Double Dragon in or something. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't care. Just be accurate, man. It's annoying. So.
All right.
I guess we're doing The Goon.
Anything else? The Goon. We read The Goon. Like issues something to through something.
Yeah, it was one arc and then like a couple other issues.
Yeah, so
is it good to the payoff?
It's 9, 10, 11.
What do you think of the fish beer arc?
Which is an arc there that is not written by Eric.
And it's not drawn by
him. And it's not drawn by him either.
No.
So it's all about those some witches that come in to set up a brewery to compete with the fish heads. And honestly, even though Eric didn't have much to do with that, it's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, I thought the story was pretty good and entertaining. It didn't have quite the same snappy dialogue.
I would agree with that.
And,
it tried to pull it off in some cases, and Frankie is still pretty funny, but it's not quite, there.
But then when he comes back for those two, you're like, oh yeah, this is
oh yeah,
this is
especially
the
last one. I feel like with the duck guy or whatever, mm-hmm. I felt like there's some pretty good things. Dr. Alloy, they have some pretty good parts.
I'm kind of done with Dr. Alloy.
I think that was my problem too. I was like, did you really need to bring back him? And then basically he gets killed and is like one of his alternate egos
from
back,
like a different universe comes.
I don't know that I was really feeling that one as much.
No.
But luckily enough, it's pretty short.
It's just one issue.
And then bringing back Duckman, and things.
Yeah.
In the fucking, what the hell was it? The little goofy-ass Yoda-looking leprechaun. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
That was great. Bringing him back and talking about, you can't eat pork or something. I don't know.
the goblin guy.
Yes.
He was so funny.
Yes.
He's like cursed him.
He's cursed him. And so he's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, wait, I'm going to take you to
the... Then they're making a deal because he's like, potatoes? I can get potatoes?
Like,
okay.
It's the best greasy spoon around.
Yeah, exactly. So
oh, man,
he can finally
so
get over his curse, but he can take this freaking goblin to get some potatoes.
Exactly.
So it's like, oh, my God. That was so great.
And then the guy burns it down.
I know, this duck man burns it down. And so he passes the curse onto the duck guy.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I like
that. So that was good. But overall, it was good stuff.
Cool.
But I do like a lot of the stuff, though, even in that one series.
Yeah, I
thought
that was a
good
series.
The fish ones were like, yeah, this stuff will really get you. Frank's all like, this is the best stuff to get you wasted, but man, it sure smells bad, it tastes,
tastes
bad,
like
and
fish.
Everything else. And he gives all these reasons for why it's so bad, but he's like, man, it's the best stuff to get you wasted, man. Get you wasted in no time flat. And they're like, would you quit insulting our beer? He's like, I'm not insulting it, besides the fact of how bad it tastes, but he's like, you guys are really good at what you need to do, which is get me wasted.
I was reading some cartoon, it was like a one... Like, it's a Far Side, but it wasn't a Far Side. But it was about some guy, like, inventing beer. And they're like, yeah, I took this, like, old yeast and let it, like, rot and get all gross. And, now we're drinking it. He's like, oh, that sounds horrible. It's like, yeah, but it really takes the edge off. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
It tastes bad, but, man, it takes the edge off.
It's like, and that's pretty much what beer is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't really taste that good usually, but it does take the edge off.
It was kind of funny, though, through this whole one, too. The witches never say that they're witches. I mean, they keep asking, are you witches? And they're like, well, this is our story, and things, which nothing ever actually gets there to where they actually admit it until, like, the very end. So that's, like, kind of a running gag throughout as well.
It was pretty good. No, I enjoyed this.
I don't know, man. Like, it sounds good when you guys talk about it. Like, it's worth reading. I was just, like, so
did you ever read these?
Yeah, I've read them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I remember a little bit.
Well, we're done with the goons. We got to come up with a new group read.
I think I came up with this one, and then I bailed on it. So.
I know. What's up
you
with
guys,
that?
You guys, I don't know whose turn it is, but
I think
you
it's
guys...
Scott's turn.
Oh, no,
I'm
going to default to you guys, because I don't have any.
Can we
left.
Remember all the group reads we did? So. We did Planetary, right?
Oh, yeah, we did Planetary. We
did we do
Authority.
Watchmen?
Yeah.
We did that Watchmen by, like, issue by issue,
where
we all read that one.
And then we did Authority.
Yep. And
did we do Authority?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did Authority. I think we probably didn't do.
We did Fables. I remember that was.
Yeah.
Oh, we did Scalped.
Scalped? Yeah.
Scalped.
Scalped.
Oh, Scalped.
Yeah.
Jason said Scout.
I know. At first, that's what I thought you did.
He's bringing those back as omnibuses.
So.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to do like two or three omnibuses.
Did we do Preacher?
No. I don't own it. Do you own it?
I do own it. I own, the entire story except for like the.
We did.
The special ones.
No,
You read it.
Yeah.
Scott read. We were kind of doing our own for a while. Like,
right.
Scott was doing Sandman and
Why
the
Last
Man.
Man.
You were doing Preacher.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm just going to throw this out there. What about. And you guys can do whatever you want.
Oh, dude, it's okay.
Fear Agent.
Okay.
Fear Agent.
It's a short one.
I read that one for a while.
That'd be quick. I got the hardcovers.
Yeah.
I do too.
So we can do Fear Agent. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's actually a good reminder.
Yeah.
Unless we want to go, I don't know if that's going.
I think that'll be a quick one. We can do Fear Agent.
Let's do that. And then
I think it's only like six trades or something.
And then we can think about something else.
Okay. At least Fear Agent has an end.
That is true too.
I don't want to steer the ship.
You don't want to?
Well, okay. I mean, I don't want to be like, hey, you guys are going to read this. Because I felt like that's what I did with The Goon. But it sounds like you guys enjoyed it, so it was
fine. I enjoyed The Goon.
Any of the rereads we enjoy, because it's usually stuff we all like.
Yeah. So. Well, and The Goon for me was actually new. I mean, that's for the most part.
You read some of it.
I read some, but I had never actually sat down and read it in the right order probably that it should have been. So.
Cool. All right. Yeah, we can do Fergie. We'll do that. Okay. And then we'll come up with something else.
All right. Sounds good. Cool.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.